Hey guys, it's Jennifer with The Shooter's Mindset, and we are live on episode 422. Got our co-hosts here. How's it going, Cannon?
Fantastic. Shot two matches over the weekend. Couldn't be better.
Fun. All right, Corey, how many did you shoot over the weekend?
I shot one match, but I feel like I put more rounds down range.
Oh, now they're going to duke it out. Who did the most?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all good. All right. And our guests of the hour, I feel like this is a very anticipated show because of all the buzz that's been on Facebook. We are lucky enough to have Greg Glass from Garmin and Francis Cologne on to talk about the new chronograph. So how's it going, guys?
Good.
Going well. Thanks for having us.
Francis just grinning with that always smile. So we always start the show off with kind of tell us a little about yourself, how you got into shooting, and if you're in the industry, how you got into your job. So we'll start with Francis. If you'll just give us a quick little how you got into shooting and how you got to doing what you do now.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for having us on. You know, I've been shooting competitively for about this is my fifth season in PRS, but really shooting for about 10 years, sort of seriously, on and off with competition for the last, well, mainly 5 years in competition. But I got into the industry, in the shooting sports industry, really as a result of my passion for long range shooting. I live semi-local to Applied Ballistics, and having known them, that's really how I got started in competition through F-Class. I'm just practicing with their team. But, you know, then I started into PRS, and at some point, I think it was the gap grind in maybe 2021, somewhere in there. I forget which year it was specifically. I happened to see their crew again on site, and we just got to chit-chatting, and lo and behold, there was an option for me to start doing something local with Applied Ballistics. And that led to kind of the longer term role that I have now with Applied Ballistics full time in the kind of a multitude of roles, everything from marketing to sales to product development and lab management, all the above, just kind of what do we need? So it's been a lot of fun.
All right, Greg, how about you?
I've been an engineer for just over 30 years now, been at Garmin for 20. And shot pistols for a long time. And then back in summer of, I think, 17, we launched the Fortrex 701 with Applied Ballistics, our first AB included product, and wanted to learn more about it. Got a rifle, went out and took my first class, shot all of 500 yards. And then 3 days later, flew out to Idaho and hit a mile and never looked back. So immediately got into ELR and been doing that ever since. And then about 2 years ago, I shot my first PRS match and shot a couple more the next year. And this year, I think I've shot like 16.
Nice. So,
yeah. Officially hooked.
I was going to say you're addicted now.
Yeah. I'm in good company.
All in. That's how it goes. You just, you know, you go to one and you think, oh, I'll just do this one.
Yeah, still hit Steel Challenge in the off season. But...
Oh, nice. What are you shooting Steel Challenge?
Everything. Nice. Just got my little Club 13 coin.
Oh, congrats. So, yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
So y'all are both now kind of pros in PRS because you've done 16 matches. So. Yeah, up in the world. Next year at the gap grind, you're gonna have to be a pro instead of an am.
I was this year, so.
Oh, you were a pro this year. Okay, yeah. Good. Good. Yep. Yeah. They usually only let you have about 1 year, and if you've shot a good bit, you gotta bump up. So.
Yeah.
So I guess we started off with the cool little visual of all the stuff that we had that y'all make, but could you talk about, I guess, Garmin as a company? What all you make, obviously a shout out to the InReach series, but yeah.
You know, Garmin was founded in 1989 Currently got just over 19,000 employees in, I think, 35 countries.
Wow.
As for what we make, you know, we have products in aviation, marine, fitness, automotive, and outdoor. So it's really a question of what market.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
So you said you were an engineer. Are you a double E?
Started out as a double E and been a software engineer the last 25 or so.
Okay, fantastic. Nothing with apps or anything, right? All actual software.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, good. Mostly server side, a little bit of desktop.
Awesome. What's your favorite product that you've been, as far as Garmin?
Definitely the C1.
Okay.
Because it's been so well received and the reactions have been great. So,
yeah. Has it been like cool to make something that's useful for your hobby?
Yeah, that's one of the really cool things at Garmin is we have, you know, all these different markets and there's people on these teams that are passionate about those activities. So
right.
It took a while to finally work my way into a job where I could, you know, work on on this type of stuff, but it's been a lot of fun.
How long was this in the making?
Oh, I think it started back in, I don't remember what year, late COVID-ish.
Okay. I figured it took a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun to see it then come to fruition. I can this was really exciting for you to finally get it out there in the wild.
Yeah.
So I've got a question for Greg, if I can, because I know, you know, you also are in the golf market as right as mm-hmm. well. And you also have a shotgun product. The C1 X1 or the Zeros lineup in general is actually something that I just figured out the nomenclature for between the A, is it the A series for the arrows where it's the bow sight, then the C right. series, the chronograph, S is shotgun. I forget, there's a couple more, but does X. the golf, did this chronograph also come out of a function with the golf tracking unit, which I know is a similar radar setup, along with the shotgun technology and combining those two things?
There's definitely some shared technology there. You know, we've been in the radar business for a long time with the big aviation and marine stuff. But really, I can't remember when it was, but even before the golf radar, we started our first really miniaturized radar was a bicycle brake light. That radar built in to tell you when there's cars behind you and how far away they are.
Nice.
And that technology turned into the launch monitor and then now the C1 Pro. So it's cool to be able to take advantage of the stuff that the other segments are doing and use that to shorten our time to market.
Yeah. I mean, personally, as a shooter, one of the cool parts about that story is that it shows how a large company like Garmin that has such wide reach can bring the technology that's been vetted, validated, and in use in different markets. It's, you know, mature and stabilized, and then quickly translate that to, you know, it's something that ends up in the hands of, well, in our case, shooters, where we can put it to immediate use and have absolute value right away. And I think that may be lost or maybe a little understated from people who aren't familiar with the Garmin brand or aren't familiar with how hard it is, generally speaking, to get a new product like this to market and have it function like it is right out of the box. So.
Yeah, it definitely helps in the quality area there.
Yeah.
Haven't found all the bugs before.
A lot of times when something new comes out, I wait a little bit to buy it. I mean, every time a brand new iPhone comes out, I usually wait a little bit and make sure it doesn't have weird glitches, right? But from what I've heard, I've not heard one negative thing on Facebook. And there have been a lot of people I know that have gotten them and shot with them. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, even as well as we knew it worked from all the testing, when we did the little preview at the grind this year, it was a little nerve-wracking to start. But seeing everybody come back from trying them all on the line together and hearing that nobody had any issues was really cool.
Yeah. I'm the same way with, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting. I still haven't ordered my iPhone 15. But I this may have been ordered like within 7 minutes of it being released. So we've mentioned this, but now let's kind of, I guess, give it a little rundown, because I'm sure everybody that has any form of social media has seen all of the memes and the posts and everything, but let's give it a quick little product rundown. We know it's a itty bitty little chronograph, but let's get into some of the details.
Okay. It's about the size of a GoPro or deck of cards. It has really good accuracy and precision, battery life, and is just incredibly easy to use. So those were kind of the things we were focused on, trying to make it a success. It's a 24 gigahertz radar. What else? It does a really good job on a crowded firing line of figuring out which shot it's supposed to be paying attention to and ignoring the other ones. Also does a really good job of not missing any shots.
The video you guys put out, it looked like you could do a ton with it, from arrows to pistols to air rifle, like subsonic 22, and then you could do our normal center fire rifle. So it looked like kind of wild how much you could use it for.
Yeah, there was a little discussion about, you know, what else can we do? You know?
Right.
Pretty much any single projectile from 100 to 5,000 feet per second. So
that's
so cool.
And it'll isolate. So cool. Like, if we're at the gap grind and everybody's out there on train up day, and you know how crowded it gets, everybody's, you know, squeezing between each other to shoot. And just having that on my rifle is going to pick up my shot and not Francis's, who's laying next to me.
Yeah. We were just handing them out from a table behind the firing line down at the end of the line there on train up day. And with 20 or 30 people crammed in there, nobody ever picked up anybody else's shot. So
how hard is it to get on, you know, get it situated on the rifle?
It's really easy to aim. If you're within 10 degrees or so of pointed at the target, it's going to work just fine.
And there's how fairly, does it attach?
What's that?
How does it attach?
It has a small tripod that comes with it.
Nice.
So you can just put it on the ground right next to your rifle.
Yep. I usually just reach up and plop it next to a bipod leg and call it good.
Yeah, anywhere it's
5 to 15 inches back and 5 to 15 inches over.
Yeah, I can attest to how easy it is to use. I mean, Chad and I have had units now for a few months, and it's several of the last six matches or so that we've been to. I was walking up and just kneeling down next to Chad and holding it, because obviously we couldn't let it be seen live at the firing line. Nobody knows what it is, but it was in my palm while he's sending shots, and I get, you know, 5-6 shots. Cool. I just stand up. We switch rifles. He holds it, does the same thing. And we got the same data as if we had done it. We actually tested it, or I tested it prior to that, just holding it while somebody else was shooting a rifle, and they didn't know I was tracking it to see if I was going to get the same data. And lo and behold, I did. So yeah, it's hard to say how simple it is to use until you use it. And then at first you're like, well, yeah, it should be easy to use. It takes that and then takes it another level and another level, yeah, because it is that easy to align that it takes the guesswork out of, am I perfectly aligned? Does it have to be right on that, you know, perfect little line, or else it misses shots? I fired across, for example, at K&M, I fired everything from the 500 yard line all the way to the cars to the right, and it never missed a single shot across that entire pan from K&M on the long range. And that's an incredible feat for any chronograph that's radar based, having worked in, you know, radar for several years with TrackMan and then now with Applied Ballistics. It's very difficult to design a system that can accurately detect and give precision results back without realignment to the target you're trying to point to. I can't really understate that point. It is the simplest to use and align of any product that I have used to date, ever.
Yeah, I think maybe that even comes back to your other point about leveraging what kind of a large company can do and knowing kind of what the problems are going to be and how they were solved previously. Because like you said, they do such accurate things in marine, right? You've got the Garmin on top of all the boats, right? You kind of almost expect that that same problem is going to come up, right? So it's kind of cool seeing something that's so easy and so attainable, because you like this little guy, right? Super easy to use. I don't know if it took me more than 5 minutes to set it up, but it's because, like, if anyone's ever done software, you really have to vet it. And having that experience and what's going to work, I think is really, really invaluable in providing that final experience, right? When you open the box, you set it up, you plug it in, it just works. You don't have to mess with it.
So speaking, kind of bouncing off what Corey just said about taking it out and plugging it in and running it, for anybody that is curious about it, hasn't seen one at Gap Grind or out in the wild, can you just talk us through, like, if we came to the range and it's in my bag, what do I do to get my actual data?
Basically, you press one button to turn it on. Same button turns it off if you hold it, but to turn it on is literally just that quick. And then you select new session, rifle, pick your velocity range, and it's ready to go.
Yeah, and you just did it 10 times slower than it actually is in practice.
I had to stop and look going that slow. I usually just...
It's extraordinarily fast. It was funny, at the Gap Grind, I had mine mounted to the Area 419 mount. And once I started using it, people started seeing it. They're like, wow, that's crazy. A few minutes later, hey, can I borrow your chronograph? And it was pull it out. As I'm pulling it out, it's power, tap, 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 handing it to him. And I just say, it's ready to go. What do you mean? Yeah, it was mount and shoot. How do you turn it on? It is. It's running right now. And there's a... Again, the look on people's faces when you tell them that, when they're used to something like, you know, so let's say the sky screen style chronographs where you have to go with the tripod downrange, or and I'm not saying anything negative, but there are other products between MagnetoSpeed, LabRadar currently are two of the best chronographs in the market, but they have their own unique setups, whether they're a little bulky or, but they have good tracking attributes. This takes all of the features of the best products in the market and combines them into one. So I think that's a pretty incredible statement that it's capable of doing so that easily and that quickly. But it was really neat to watch it. Even people who'd never touched it learn how to operate it and get what they need out of it in literal seconds.
Yeah, and that's one of my big plans for it. You know, I run a very beginner-friendly NRL22 match. And, you know, you show up to a PRS 2 day, like everybody besides you, maybe one person has a chrono. You show up to a 1 day match, probably 90% of people have chronos. But you know, when you go to a really beginner level match, like maybe one or two people have chronos. And my current chrono, it's not the easiest to share with people. But with this, I could literally just leave it there and let my shooters get better velocity so they hit more targets and they like my match.
That's a great point for any match director listening, and a huge value add to have one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be cool just to have it sitting there and people can go get it. So I get that you just turn it on and it reads. How many readings should you take with that? With other chronographs, like most people will do a 5-round group, get their data, get the SD off of it, and all of that. So with this device, what is recommended? What?
I wouldn't change the number of shots in a string or the number of strings. I mean, you still have to have enough measurements to be statistically significant. Francis can definitely talk more about that, but it's just that you're not going to have to bring extra ammo because you missed a shot, or worry about, you know, this one doesn't look quite right. It must be the guy next to me. I'll delete that. Those sort of things. So.
And it'll still give you standard deviation and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think to that point, one of the things that's interesting about this is I find myself actually using less ammo now. Now that I can use it, you know, in the field at matches, I'm actually using less ammo to confirm velocity at various points, because I've literally put it on my rifle with a mount while I'm shooting a stage or while I'm shooting a prone stage. So rather than having to validate in the morning, hope and pray that it's the same throughout the day, have something not line up, and then come back to zero line and go square away with a chrono again, and then go back to the match, I just go, oh, hey, I don't know if it's quite lining up, but every third stage, I have a plan to just toss it on my rifle. If it's prone, it's on my rifle. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how much simpler that gets, because it does give us now, and maybe this is a good point to talk about why, you know, chronographs, I think, at times are undervalued by certain segments of the community, because they don't, if you're trying to hit a target at a long range, one of the most critical components to having an effective solution that puts you on target is simply a true precise muzzle velocity, one that's both accurate and precise. And part of that is just how frequently are you gathering the data? So if you start out in the morning and it's 40 degrees, your ammo's at 40, and you start shooting, by the time the end of the day happens, it's 80 or so, you might have gained 10, 15, 20 feet a second just because of temperature-related changes to your ammo. Accounting for that can now be done live throughout the match without having the uncertainty that follows not knowing where your speed is.
Yeah, that was one of the first things that I thought about, was actually, you know, when you're doping out something, you're getting the velocity at the same time, shooting at a match at the same time. But one thing that a lot of people have been asking is, does it Bluetooth? So can you update your chronograph results live to an app that you're running as you go through?
Yeah. The shot app.
I think you, before you answer that, let's clarify what he's talking about.
Depends what you mean by live. You don't get a shot at a time, but when you end a string, it automatically syncs to the ShotView app on your phone.
Oh, yes. Oh, that is nice.
So, yeah, I think to make sure that we're not answering the wrong question, it goes to the ShotView app or within it, but not to your devices, if you will.
Right, your
solvers. But you have it live. I mean, I've had it on my rifle and I'm just watching it. So, for instance, we had a series of bowling pins and groundhogs and some other targets that we shot prone at the gap grind. And while I was shooting that string with the chrono, I'm just looking at the muzzle velocity every second shot and just going, yep, it's tracking. I had an SD of 2 and an extreme spread of 9. And I stopped watching after shot 3 because I knew it was in the expected realm. But to your point, you can literally keep track of it now live throughout the day and not miss shots due to your muzzle velocity being off. That doesn't mean you're going to not miss shots. It just means that the muzzle velocity should be a good, the muzzle velocity is no longer a reason that you can say, I missed shots because my muzzle velocity was wrong and changing. You should be able to account for that now every single time you pull out your rifle.
Yeah, you can eliminate at least one variable that way.
Yep.
Yes.
It also gives you it gives you a good sense of comfort knowing that, yet it really hasn't changed. It's where I expect it to be.
Yeah. Oh,
so is it still measuring muzzle velocity, or is it farther out from the muzzle?
Yeah, it's measuring muzzle velocity. So it measures some distance out, depending on the projectile size and speed and all that, in order to get a good muzzle velocity. That's why we need a certain amount of distance beyond the target in order to get a good result, but all it provides is the actual muzzle velocity.
Gotcha.
We had a listener ask, how far does it track it down the range? Is that just dependent on projectile?
It is, yeah. The faster the projectile, the farther it'll track it to make sure it has enough data points to get a good muzzle velocity, but it varies.
Okay, so is that why when you go into rifle, it's like, you know, choose your velocity range?
Yeah, it just tunes the algorithm a little bit to.
That makes sense. I'm learning.
Make it work better.
Yeah, and one thing we haven't pointed it out yet, or we haven't talked on it, Greg, or you haven't mentioned it. This is a triggerless radar, which is very unique in the market. Because, so to give some context to it, if you haven't seen it, you know, the Applied Ballistics has a great article up on thescienceofaccuracy.com. That's a blog that just talks about some of the history of chronos. So the sky screen chronos are using what's called a trigger, a light gate trigger, right? Shadow, T1 or T0, whichever way you want to call it, and then pass the next sky screen, another trigger that puts another time on it. So the time between those two, and then it uses that distance, which is fixed, and calculates the velocity. A radar will also need a trigger. In the case of like a lab radar, it has two modes. It has the acoustic trigger and a Doppler trigger. This is a triggerless in the sense that it's using what amounts to a Doppler mode all the time, which is extraordinarily important for how we shoot and how we're trying to use it in the field. It's just, I honestly am blown away at how well Garmin did with taking that unit and giving you consistent velocities from a triggerless device. It's ingenious.
And so the way you describe the way that it works, it sounds like it would use a ton of battery.
Yeah.
But
no.
So I haven't charged mine, and I've been playing with this thing a lot, and you probably can't see that because of my light, but I'm still like 3/4 of the way charged.
Nice.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been very focused on in recent years has been battery life, because, you know, when you're building products for use in the outdoors, you know, they don't do a lot of good when the battery's not working. So
yeah,
we put a lot of effort into managing power and keeping things working a long time.
Yeah. As a shooter who puts a lot of rounds downrange, I can say I was shocked when I figured out how long the battery life actually lasted. And that was using a lot of beta firmwares that had some tweaks that were not actually optimizing battery life. I want to say one of the older firmwares that I ran, I was able to run through 4 matches and break in 2 or 3 different barrels. So 600, it was 800, just shy, 790-ish, 6-ish shots tracked over 6 or 8 weeks. And I went from 100% to 30%, and I only charged it because in just shy of 2 months, I'm like, wow, I don't want to have a chance because I don't know if at the next match I'm going to have a lot of people. This is right before the gap grind. And I'm like, it's been almost 2 months since I charged this thing and it's still running fine. I should probably charge it just to make sure people have a battery, but I'm sure it would have been fine. It's for the average user, battery life is not just not a concern. It's something you should think about once a month to once every other month for an average user and the amount they might use it. So depending on the shots. And what is it you say, Greg? 2,000 shots?
Yeah, I think you say 2,000 shots.
Yeah.
It's basically 6 hours of radar on time.
What kind of battery is it?
It's an internal lithium ion polymer.
So rechargeable?
Yeah.
And it charges fast. I mean, I think it was like 30 to 60 minutes generally when I charged mine.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then lasts like forever.
A lot longer than 30 to 60 minutes. Yeah.
I know. This thing is so portable. I know when I go to matches, I take my chronograph down for the train up day and then it stays in my car. Just because I don't want to haul all of my gear, you know, all over the range, but this thing is so small and portable, it'll just fit in a pocket of my backpack and stay there. Yeah. It's crazy how little it is. So every time I go to a match, which when I show up to the next one, you're welcome to everyone that shoots it because it's going to rain. Because if I go
to a match, yeah.
It is going to rain. That is just a fact. It is how it goes. If Jen is there, we will get wet. It's going to drench us. So do I need to put it away when it starts raining? How's it doing the weather?
It does great. It has an IPX7 weather rating. So that's 30 minutes of incidental exposure up to 1 meter. And it measures just fine. It's not impacted performance-wise by either rain, snow, lighting conditions, any of that. So
that's awesome.
That is good because I got soaked through the bone on Friday. Just a random one just came in, and of course I was at the back left of the range. And then my truck was at the back right of the range with the windows down, and I'm on a Kubota with no windshield. Super fun. So a couple questions on that just came in on live, I think one of them we're going to ask later, but it fits in well here. What if, you know, batteries never last forever? Is mm-hmm. there a way to replace the battery long down the road if something goes wrong with it?
What we tell people is to just call our customer support, and anything that happens with your unit, call our support. We pride ourselves on taking care of our customers, and we will figure something out.
Yep. And I've called them once before with an old GPS unit. So people make fun of me because I have my old Garmin Nuvia up here that I keep in the truck. But when you pull out a K&M and you're going to an Airbnb that you've never been to before, it's so much easier than the strategy of, well, we're going to go left or right until we get service. You know, you just put it in your driveway. But they, you know, for a company, you know, normally the bigger the company is, like, the worse the customer service. But like, I felt like I was almost calling like a small, like, small operation with how
yeah.
how well they took care of me. So I can personally attest to that. Will asked, is it USB charge? It is.
It's USB-C
because it's 2023 and this is what we use now. Thankfully.
And it will run on a external battery as well if you need to. If you stay away from power for 3 months, Francis.
Somebody asked, those of us in the community know the first batch is completely gone. How long should we anticipate the next batch starts hitting retailers?
Yeah, we're thrilled with how popular it is, but it has obviously exceeded our expectations, and the team is working our best to get them in people's hands as fast as possible. So I don't know exactly when that'll be, but we're doing everything we can to get them out.
Cool. I don't remember if we talked about this on air or off air. So just in case, what frequency does the radar work on?
It's 24 gigahertz.
And then one for Francis. And we kind of anticipated this question. How does the C1 compare to y'all's radar?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So I think Greg said we were okay to talk about this so early on. After they had a lot of the prototype units out, they had contacted us to see if we could do some comparison. And we actually had, was it 4 or 5 units out at a few different points throughout the early part of the year to both check it against multiple calibers and multiple units running simultaneously. And it was actually a really cool experiment and test to watch. But effectively, while I don't want to give away the exact numbers without, you know, more vetting from work. But suffice it to say, it is definitely good enough for us to consider it one of the best units that we could possibly use in our facility. So if we're not needing to track long range velocities, it is absolutely on par or better than the other devices that we've tested. It's one of the most precise across the board. So I'll just say it's very much good enough for us to rely on it at the lab for some experimentation when we don't need downrange tracking of the bullet.
We really appreciate the ability to go out there and test, Francis, because it was one of the first things we realized as we were developing this is, how do you tell what's right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's as a shooter, and also, you know, having worked at AB, there is an interesting dilemma that I think it's a phenomena, maybe more of a dilemma, but it is a phenomena that happens. We buy any given product that's a measurement-based system, right? So I'm here in my reloading room and I've got a set of dial calipers. Mm-hmm. When these say 0, I expect it to be 0. When they say 1 inch, I expect them to be 1 inch. And they're, quote, accurate or to 1/1000th of an inch. But you don't know that until you have something else to reference it against. So in these cases, you would technically need a gauge block to measure against to know how precise these actually are. And you need something that's more precise than, say, what you're trying to measure. So if the thing that you're measuring is only plus or minus 1/1000th, and you have devices plus or minus 1/1000th, you really haven't gained any level of precision or comfort. The reason I'm bringing that up is chronographs have been one of those devices that we have trusted are right. And the human condition, unfortunately, means we tend to believe when we pay money for something that that thing gives us an exact right number, even if it says plus or minus something at the end. And that's a little bit of a problem because I know that this says plus or minus 1,000. Yet when I report to someone and says, hey, what's this bullet measure or whatever, I give them exactly what this reads. But that may not be the right number. I have to take into account that little bit of error. And frankly, the more precise and the more accurate the devices you have that are giving you numbers that are critical to creating long-range solutions or making great ammo, the better those devices are at consistency, the better your results will be downrange. And I think this speaks, kind of full circle when you look at the problems across the industry in learning to shoot long range. This unit specifically will solve one of the major hurdles. A good friend of mine said, hey, this unit's really cool, but it's really beneficial mainly for, say, somebody like us or like me, like professional shooters, because it's small, it's $600, we're going to gain portability. Well, I actually think it's the opposite. I think that the average shooter benefits more from a device like a Garmin, because when you think about the old school setup processes for, say, sky screen style chronos or others that have to connect in multitude of ways, you're actually, as a new shooter, you're de-incentivized to hook something up that takes 5-6 minutes when you could just start shooting. This removes that incentive to say, I don't want to delay the gratification of enjoying the sport that I have, and just gets it right in front of you, gets you real data, and you don't have to use it after you've got it done. It can just stay on the whole time if you want it. That removes a barrier that will help more people understand the value of good information, sort of the old garbage in, garbage out, and good data in, good data out type approach that AV prides itself on. I think that's going to help across the board for shooters who are now looking for a system that's easy to use, fast, and will give them the right number. I think they'll benefit more at even the low end, if you will, because of all the capability that this system has.
Exactly.
That was a long way of saying it, but hopefully that point got the point across that it's good for the average user as well.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the phrase in the match, yeah, I think it's shooting this fast. I didn't have time to chrono or this or that or the other thing. And with this, literally, if you just don't go to the zero range or whatever before, you'll know if your velocity and your data is good after your first stage if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's a larger point here that I think I don't know if anybody's asked about ballistics, so to speak, but maybe this is a small blurb that will help put these two in line with one another. So if you're using this, or if you're using a chronograph on, let's say, every shot to know your velocity, Greg said it earlier, you have ruled out one variable as a cause for inaccuracy downrange, not precision, but inaccuracy. And because of that, that means that while if you plug in what Garmin says from the device into your solver and you have a good zero and you have a BC that's come from the AV library for a measured bullet that we've populated, you should be within a tenth or two. And if you at all distances out to, supersonic, at least through supersonic. And if you're not, there is likely something else in your system that is wrong. Like just not a little right, but very wrong. Whether you have that one lot of bullet that is absolutely different in terms of BC, which is possible, or maybe your scope isn't tracking perfectly. Maybe you have an incorrect target range, but effectively what I'm driving at is this removes that uncertainty of your velocity being wrong. And that is, I can't actually say how valuable that is, because the thing that it helped me see a couple weekends ago, I'm actually working out, but it helped me understand something that had to be looked at and explored a little further at my level of shooting, that eliminated one source of error that put a glaring light on another source of error that I have to go examine a little further. So this thing has been incredible to use in practice with how consistently and how quickly you can grab data in all conditions.
I think everybody has had that match where something was off and they couldn't figure out what. Like you're just hitting erroneously. You can't figure it out. Some people it's the, scope is not tracking. Some people it's that your barrel was not screwed on as tight as it should have been. Some people it's that their velocity changed, right? So I think that you're right, Francis, being able to take one variable out, you know, eliminate, it helps you to troubleshoot a little bit faster without that being one of the things that might be the problem.
Yep. Yeah. And being able to track consistently through the entirety of a barrel. So it's a lot of, I had a story of a guy who called me and he was having trouble with his data. Long story short, he said, yeah, I chronoed it and it was this. I did a lot of digging and it come to find out he had 1200 rounds on his barrel or so. And when I said, so when's the last time you chronoed? He said it kind of like without really, without missing a beat. Yeah, I just did it when I did load development. And it struck me, I'm like, when did you do load development? Before the match? He said, no, when I broke in the barrel. So he literally chronoed this load at round 40 or 50.
Yeah.
And that was the velocity that he's been running for, or what he thought it was. And this is now 1200 rounds later. And I'm like, man, I'm here to tell you, your velocity is not what you think it is. Like, I just go out and re-chrono. Well, long story short, he went out and chrono and he's like, hey man, you were right. It was 79, 80 feet per second off. And that explains why he had to adjust his BC one way, but it was artificial, like non-physical BC change in order to get it to line up. And it just, that story underscores the importance of trusting but verifying all the time, which is what we do at the pro level. I don't know any guys in the pro circuit that aren't, you know, constantly checking velocity, at least at home, you know, between matches, making sure their zero is good before, during, and after, making sure that they have accurate and consistent readings from their Kestrel. We are in the business and in the game of having as few variables as possible unaccounted for. And this is a great way to start it.
Cool. So we're about at midpoint of the show. Remember, if you're watching us live on Facebook, ask any questions you may have in the comment section of the video. We'll ask it live on air. Other ways to catch us, you can always check back on the Shooter's Mindset Facebook page. The videos stay up there forever. We usually upload to all the podcast apps the night after the show. And then finally, everything eventually ends up on the Shooter's Mindset YouTube page. So that's a great place to look up past episodes. Also, if you're gearing up for hunting season, you're going to want to listen closely. We've got an offer to tell you about that could score you up to $750 in free gear. This amazing promotion is brought to you by our friends at Christensen Arms. If you don't know Christensen, they've created the first carbon fiber barrel back in 1995, and they've been making world-class rifles ever since. Now through October 31st, when you buy any eligible Christensen Arms rifle, you can send their team a simple form with your original receipt. Once they verify your purchase, they'll email you an electronic gift card code good for up to $750 on their online store, which is stocked with premium accessories from Christensen, as well as other amazing brands like Leupold, Mystery Rants, Half Face Blades, Uncharted Supply Company, and more. Go to christensenarms.com to learn more.
Hey, Francis, I heard you kept yours in your backpack. How did that work? Is it still in one piece?
Yeah. No, it's actually been in my backpack for, well, since, what was it, June? I think it was around June or end of May or June since Greg got us this, that I've had it in my backpack the entire time. It's 100% fine. So yeah, it's very durable that way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to beleaguer the point, but they've been making backpacking and like hiking accessories for a long time that are virtually indestructible. But I think that's another point that we should probably bring up of it seems to be pretty robust.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's been fired against, or I shouldn't say fired against, fired on multiple big bore rifles. I mean, at work, I know Mitch has run his on a 375 enabler. I think the Area 49 team has run theirs on 300 Normas. I've run it on a 300 Norma, all the way down to a Dasher, a 22. So, I mean, when you think about the recoil impulse on some of those big systems, that's a lot of abuse, and yet it still continues to keep on ticking. Another example, I mean, I'm running, this is a Garmin Tactics watch. This thing is a year and a half, 2 years old, and it has been literally everything from engine hoods to oil changes to in the river, in rocks, digging fish out of holes, yada, yada, yada. And there's not even a scratch on the damn lens. Like, there is literally no scratch on this. I mean, other than the bezel, which has a tiny bit of wear, it's been flawless. So, I mean, they are no stranger to building rugged devices that are designed to be easy to use. And I think to your point, that InReach is a really good example of that. I mean, that thing is the size of, you know, like a half dollar. I mean, it's
tiny. For scale.
Yeah, it's tiny. And that thing is designed to keep you in communication anywhere, you know, on the planet.
Oh, and it works. That's the cool part. It just works. It is super easy.
When it's in your backpack, do the buttons get pushed? Does it turn itself on or anything?
So, interesting point on that. Early on, I did have a situation where I'm like, wow, my battery's pretty low. And I did actually have it turn on. But that was one of the first firmwares where they were testing things. And I'm pretty sure that's been solved, but I can let Greg speak to that. So that said, now I keep it in this little, I don't have it with me, but I have a little container that I'll toss it in if need be, nice. And I'm going to be jostling, but it's tiny. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we actually will shut down if it's been on for a while and hasn't sensed anything. So we save the battery awesome. That way.
So if it does accidentally turn on, it'll turn itself off in a
right.
certain
way. Yeah.
Let's see.
That's a question. Is it okay with angled shooting?
As in?
If you were to right shoot left. Yeah, straight and then a high angle, 10 degrees?
Yeah, if it's within 10 degrees or so, it's not an okay. issue. If you go beyond that, you'll probably want to aim it a little cool. better. But
gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I solved that by just mounting it to my rifle. It's always pointed where yeah. I'm pointed.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are there more lives?
A ton of lives.
I'm gonna sort through them.
Uh-oh. Sorry, I was replying to Joel's question on mounting it to or the degrees thing. They said Francis should just mount it to the rifle.
Yeah.
So how do you mount it, Francis, on top of your scope?
No, I actually use the left side orientation for with the 419 mount. So the 419 mount has two orientations, one where it can sit lateral to the rifle, so just to the left or just to the right, or you can orient it forward and mount it, say, to a pick rail up top. And I think actually Joel Wise was the first person to check this that I've seen. I haven't tried it yet, but technically you can flip it upside down. You know, if we're watching Top Gun, you know, we are inverted. But if you mount it upside down, I do believe you would get also velocities. There's no reason I can think of you wouldn't. It's just the numbers are upside down, which, yeah, right. I was going to make a suggestion to Greg at some point, but it is actually something you could mount underneath if you know that that's the best place for it. But I mean, it sits so close to the edge of the rifle. It sticks out maybe 3-4 inches. The only time in a match I would be concerned about having it mounted that way is if I were going in and out of a porthole. So if you have like a tight window and I could bang it on something, I might be a little bit nervous at that point. But honestly, there's very few situations where I would run it a match that I don't think I could run it on the rifle live. And I did actually practice that way with it. No issues. I mean, it's so small and so light, it doesn't create an issue or an impediment. I thought I was going to notice it out of my left eye. It just so happens that when your left hand is on the rifle, driving the rifle, it blocks almost the entirety. If you're in a good position, it almost completely blocks the view of it unless you're actually looking for it. So it's not a distraction right. to me. It doesn't seem like it's in the way. I don't even think about it. Just pick up the rifle and move and do your thing.
You need to figure out how to put a dope card on it. Then you can have your chrono and your dope right there together.
A couple like rapid fire things. How many shot strings can it store and how large can the strings be?
It'll do on the device, 50 strings of up to 100 shots each.
Damn.
And when you sync it to the phone, the only limitation is available storage on the phone.
Okay. So awesome. Are there any like outside factors, known things that can cause issues with getting a reading?
Not that we're aware of.
Cool. Will it work in a tunnel?
Yes. We actually got that question from a dealer early on and had to go out and track down a tunnel and find out, but it does work.
Yeah. No, that's cool. So there's a lot of ranges up north, like Minnesota area, that have like culverts and stuff too, at public ranges, mm-hmm. private ranges, things like that. So I can definitely see that being a question that people would have outside of maybe the guy building one in his basement.
Yeah. I want to be that guy.
Me too. I just want like just measly 100 yards underground, like nothing too wild, so I could just do load development in my basement. I mean, honestly, just having a basement would be cool. I don't even have one of those, but
time and pressure.
Yeah. So I have this app that it's funny. I think it was a Corover on Reddit found it before the release after the gap grind, and someone found it in the app store. And of course, I downloaded it, and it doesn't do a whole lot without the without the chrono. But let's talk a little bit about this app and what some of these cool features are in here.
Sure.
Does it work live? So like, you know, let's say that I'm a coach or a friend or something like that. Can I stand behind somebody and see every shot from my iPad or my phone, or do I have to sync it?
Yeah, you have to end the session and it'll auto sync.
Yep, I learned that last night. So I got mine literally when I got home from work last night and went out to the range of the dark to go play with it so I could sound a little bit more intelligent on the show, besides for, oh, look, it's small and cool. And so literally as soon as you hit done on it, it'll pop up on the app.
Yeah.
Can you export the data out of the app if I have something else that I like to track all this information in?
Yeah, you can export it as a CSV file. So nice. You just hit the menu item, say export, and it pulls up the same menu from the phone OS that you see when you want to send email or text or whatever to somebody. So you can email it to yourself real easy.
Very cool. And one thing, I think someone made a kind of a funny joke about it earlier in the comments, but it's a very common thing for people to, you know, delete shots to get, you know, post their SD2 or something like that. But also sometimes that's, you know, valuable real world data. Is there a way to do something similar to that inside of this app? You know,
You know, you can still delete stuff if you want to, but if you do want to keep that data, then there's an option to just exclude an individual shot from the results.
Leave it in
the string, but it won't use it to calculate your SD, ES, muzzle velocity, any of that.
I wanted to point out that specific feature because I think that's one of the cooler features specifically for say 22 users and people who are 22s are fickle, right? They're inherently very sensitive to muzzle velocity changes, and a lot of people will have say an SD of like 6, 7, or 8 with quality ammo, sometimes lower, but good rifle, good ammo, sometimes in that 6 to 8 range. But occasionally you get a shot that just makes zero sense. And I don't mean like, oh, it's close. I mean, it's 30, 40, 50 feet per second out. And you have-
It sounds different.
Yeah, it sounds very different, like a squib load or almost a squib load. And in those type of situations, you want to delete that. But honestly, you also want to know the frequency. So this is something that I've run up in my own practice. If I were testing and I wanted, say, 100 shot string, if I were shooting a 22, I would fire 100 to 200 shots over this chrono, and I would simply find those outliers and remove them without deleting them, so that A, I have a frequency count on how many of those occur per 100 shots or per 200 shots, so that I can make a smart deduction that if I see that every about 1 to 2 out of 100 are say 30 to 50 feet per second slow, and I see a shot randomly drop on target 4/10 slow, I'm more likely and well armed now to know I shouldn't make a correction based on that shot. My data is good. The average velocity is more correct if I just omit that shot for the bulk of the shots. It's kind of like the idea that you could put 99 shots into a dime and then have 1 5 inches somewhere else. Would you create an average based on that? And the answer is you should toss one and use your real zero and know that 99 shots out of 100 are going to be exactly where you expect them. And if you see this big outlier, ignore it, move on to the next shot and keep banging center. That's a really cool feature within the product that I'm really excited that they were able to implement.
So I'm sure if you're watching us on a video source and not on a podcast, I'm literally learning this app right now, like as they're talking and telling me everything. I did go in here and learn how to rename things and add my grain weight, but the whole like cold bore, clean bore, all that stuff, I just learned that on the fly. This is super cool. Oh, I could sort it by just my air rifles. Here's my red rifle, Red Rider. Out of everything that I chronoed last night, my Red Rider did have the smallest SD.
I don't know if that's good or bad because I'm looking at it right now, and I mean, and we need to work on your hand loading skills.
So I chronoed last night an old Savage that I haven't shot in like 2 years, and my pocket pistol.
Okay, fair.
So it is the most precise of my precision rifles that I. Here's my 380 pocket pistol with like a 2-inch barrel. And that's one thing, I guess. So this whole show we've talked about, you know, rifles. Precision rifle this, precision rifle that, precision rifle. And with a lot of the chronos that us precision rifle shooters use, they're pretty much precision rifle chronos. This does right. Everything. You know, we said it does what, 100 to how many feet per second?
5,000.
And so my BBs were 5.4 grains. But then we were talking about using this on ELR guns. You could use it on shotguns, arrows, paintballs. You know, you can mount it so many different ways. You know, obviously you can just take it, set it down someplace. But then I took my Two Vets Ruck tripod, my favorite little lightweight tripod, and stuck an ARCA on it, put it right here, and literally just shot pistols right over it. You know, set it up right under your hands. That is the easiest I've ever chronographed a pistol in my entire life.
Sounds so nice.
Yeah.
And then it'll give you power factor.
Not having to put it out there where you can shoot it.
If you're a pistol shooter, or is power factor a thing in NRL Hunter? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, but Hunter, it is.
Anything with power factor, you don't have to use the Google. You just put in your bullet weight. It gives you your power factor. You don't have to do math.
And I know you should still know how, but you don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice because it's literally just right there for you.
Yeah, I haven't shot an NRL Hunter match, but I've watched a few of them, and I'm really hopeful that this will change the check-in process to make it a little speedier than a few that I've seen where there's that long backup at the check-in line to go validate muzzle velocity. I'm hoping this makes it far simpler. You can just, yeah, you're good, and you just have five of these there, and people can just hand it off and go verify their data with somebody. I mean, I think that'll be useful for that segment of the shooting sports for sure, but you mentioned a few others. Between air guns, pistols, bows, and other calibers and other types of shooting, I think it opens a lot of doors for a do-it-all product that doesn't require anything fancy to mount it. You just simply get it near where you're shooting, have at it. So like we were talking about earlier in the show, I mean, this opens, a new door for simplicity and ease of chronograph and getting good muzzle velocity data without having to attach anything to your rifle necessarily. In this case, it's useful as a competitor to do so, but you don't have to. I think it opens a lot of doors to the community to be able to just get used to having more data at their fingertips that just confirms what they know or invalidates what they thought they knew, which sometimes is useful. So.
Yeah, Greg, there was always that joke that at level one USPSA matches, the match director would threaten to bring out a chrono. I think I'm actually going to do this just so people see how easy it is to use.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a good friend here who's the president of our local practical shooting club, and they do, I don't know how many matches every month, like 12. And
nice.
Yeah. And he was one of our beta testers, and he was anxiously awaiting the day he could break it out. And
definitely. Oh, it's awesome.
You know, if you had to be sneaky about it, you just put a GoPro sticker on it, put it on one of the little head mounts.
Get right in.
I need a really short-barreled rifle so that I could chrono it like this.
Oh, are there any other lives?
There are a ton of lives, but let's see what's worth asking. Joel asked Francis, are we going to hear about this on yours and Chad's podcast? You guys
going to it is definitely planned. We will definitely be talking about it on Miles to Matches. And again, from the practical standpoint of how we've been using it, what we feel it can do for the average shooter, what we feel it can do for an advanced shooter, and where this sort of takes the guesswork out of it and how to implement it, best practices, so to speak. So yeah, I think you'll definitely hear about it on our podcast.
There was one more. I think it was in the video, but each unit is supposed to have a slightly different frequency. So multiple units on the line, let's say next year, everyone at the grind has one. They'll be measuring that shooter's velocity and not everyone else's.
Yeah, there's multiple frequencies that it'll work on, but it just detects what else it can nearby,
right?
And which is okay. It's not interfering with anything.
That's so awesome.
That's so much better than if they were, you know, okay, we'll put them on six different frequencies. Because with my luck, you know, Jennifer would get one and ours would have a frequency and be like, you smell, go to that end of the line while we chrono.
Yeah, I'm actually really thrilled that they figured that out before launch with another company I worked with in Radar. We had to, let's just play, shuffle the orange boxes around the range while guys were hitting balls because, the frequency switching was a big deal. And so as we started having more and more units, all of a sudden it became denser and denser. Suddenly we have to start leapfrogging who's playing with what unit, just so we could say, we need to switch that frequency. And I ran around an entire range just going, okay, you need to be on this frequency and then you're on this one. And we would map it to get out of potentially double tracking and causing some errors. But Garmin was ahead of that before launch. So yeah, it's pretty smart.
Oh, I was like, who did we just drop? It was the other.
That was me putting my iPad away.
It confused me. What are the lives do we need to hit?
I believe
we're good.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I'm in urgent need of one of these in the next week and can't wait till they come back in stock. And
Christmas presents. It's small enough to be a stocking stuffer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to put one in my stocking, go for it. All right. Well, I think we can wind it down to shout outs then. And we will start with Corey.
Well, I do want to shout out Garmin because I am going hiking and chasing some elk this week. So I'll have that in reach with me. And then I also need to shout out Brian, Hunters HD. He sent a whole bunch of loaner glasses. So if y'all need glasses or you forgot yours at the range, I've now got some you can try.
All right. How about Canon?
We'll shout out PDC Custom for, you know, the beautiful lime green rifle chassis back behind me. And of course, you can't not shout out Hunter's HD Gold. I got a new prescription last week, so I'm going to be giving Brian a call.
All right. How about Francis?
Well, obviously, AB and Garmin. Thanks, Greg. But on top of it, you know, I shoot competitively for a few different professional teams between MDT, Leupold, Capstone, which Team Vitivori. There's a slew of others, but suffice it to say, I'm really grateful that of all the companies that have allowed me to support them and represent them in the field.
That's awesome. Greg, how about you? You got some shout outs?
Basically just the team at Garmin that worked on this to help us come up with a great product that we can be proud of. It's fun to work with people that are smart and love what they're doing.
That's awesome. I think it would be so neat to watch a product, you know, from its infancy, from an idea and infancy, and then, you know, all the changes until you put it out as a finished product. I think that would be a proud papa kind of moment as it comes out. So
definitely.
Well, I just want to shout y'all both out for coming on the show tonight and spending your Tuesday night with us. I know that it is always busy for everybody who has day jobs. So I always appreciate people willing to come on and, you know, talk about the different products and about shooting and the sport that we love. And I do want to just shout out Garmin for, you know, being willing to produce things that we can use in this sport. Some of the mainstream companies don't always want to jump into the shooting sports. And so I'm very appreciative that Garmin is willing to do that and producing such a phenomenal product right out the gate. I mean, this is, you know, your version 1.0. I can't imagine what's going to come, you know. Before long, it's just going to be like, you know, you hold your watch up and it's going to, you wear your watch and it's going to count your chrono or whatever. So I can't wait to see what else is to come with that. But I do want to thank you for bringing such a good product out here for everybody. And I know everybody's been very excited about it. So hopefully lots more come in stock, because I think you're going to be selling out for a while on this. But anyway, so if somebody does want to get one, I know they're out of stock right now. Are y'all doing a back order at all?
I think you can still place an order on our website. And I know that a lot of the retailers are getting frequent restocks. I saw somebody today that had them in stock briefly.
Yeah,
briefly.
So if someone wants to, I know a lot of the people that do have them right now, but if somebody's at home and they're like, well, I want to get one, but I don't know where to go. Is there a list of distributors somewhere on the website where they can look and find?
There isn't.
Okay.
But you can order them straight off of the website.
You can order them straight off of Garmin. So, okay. So just go to Garmin.com and order your chrono there.
Or any of your other Garmin dealers, sporting goods stores and things like that.
And are y'all going to have them in the, you know, mainstream stores like Sports Authority, mm-hmm. Dick's, all those places that.
Yeah, some of them.
Some of them will have it.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. All right. Well, then there's lots of places to get it. So reach out. I know we had Area 419 on here. I think he was getting some.
Jason Nedved of Nedved Precision Shooting, A&J Sporting Goods. Who else have I heard of that got them? I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's just Greg's, funny. Many of my friends recently announced, hey, I'm a Garmin dealer now.
Yeah.
In the week leading up to this, like Gap Grind. And then all my friends are like, hey, we sell Garmin now. Just an FYI.
Yeah.
Yeah. I may have got a few requests for how do I become a dealer at the Grind this year.
You? There he is. That is funny. It'll probably be a busy SHOT Show. You'll have a lot of people. But anyway, so there's lots of avenues you can go and get it. So reach out and get one. And I'm sure if you have any more questions about it, Francis is pretty passionate about this and loves talking about it. And, and you can always ask him questions because he enjoys talking about it, I know. All right. And with that, it'll be a wrap for episode 422, and we will see y'all next time.